On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. In our lives, even as baptized believers who possess the clear and certain Word of God, we often find ourselves in seasons of life when we just don't know what to do. We don't have an answer to a problem. And the fact we don't have an answer, combined with the fact we don't know what tomorrow will bring, makes for a vexing, stressful life, and we become afraid. It's scary. I'm sure many of you remember a time in your life where you were steeped in confusion, doubt, and you were afraid. Maybe some of you are going through such a time right now. What if I don't get another job? What if I lose the job I have? What if the surgery doesn't go as planned? What if something happens to my child when they're out driving from a friend's house late at night? What if, fill in the blank? The unknown is frightening. And we all know that tomorrow isn't necessarily going to be any better. There's no comfort in wrestling with questions to which there are no easy answers, but so often that is what we are up against. We're questioning something in our lives, afraid of how it's all going to turn out. If the world were a predictable place, we'd have no need to be concerned about any of this. But the sin of our first parents changes a perfect, blissful, predictable creation into one wrecked by sin and dangerous at every turn. Luther has a profound observation on man after the fall in the garden. He says this, quote, "Adam and Eve were terrified by the rustling of a leaf." Again, that's after their plunge into sin. The sinful condition, afflicting all of us, makes us afraid of even those things that are safe. But creation is a scary place. Every turn in our lives is fraught with difficulty and danger, and the possibility of suffering never ceases this side of heaven. It's incorrect to believe that the disciples were perfect men who never doubted, never wavered, never became afraid, because Scripture reveals the opposite. Today's gospel lesson from John unfolds beginning on the day of the resurrection. And we see the disciples aren't out there boldly confessing their faith, proclaiming the risen Christ. They're not out there singing praises of Alleluia to the Lord our God, whose majesty reigns supreme even over heaven and the earth. They're not doing that. Rather, we hear the disciples of Jesus were afraid. They're hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Their great teacher that they had followed for the better part of 3 years had been tortured and killed on a cross. And now, on the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, what are they doing? Cowering in fear of God's enemies. Fear had seized these men. But then the Lord Jesus stands in their midst, and he says the words, "Peace be to you. Peace be to you." And he showed them his hands and his side, and they rejoiced. A at seeing the Lord. Their fear turns to joy when they see Christ, who gives them his peace. Now, as joyful as this must have been for them to see their risen teacher, their crucified Savior, now standing before them in the flesh, their joy doesn't last, does it? Because we also notice in the text, it's not but 8 days later. And what are they doing? Hiding once again behind locked doors. And again, our Lord Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be to you. Do not disbelieve, but believe." He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God transcends our mind's ability to rationally understand it. But it is by faith that we believe it, and it is by faith we confess God's peace. This peace here that Jesus is giving to his disciples, it's not worldly peace in the sense that Christ is telling his disciples, "Hey, you're going to have it easy from here on out. Your life is going to be blissful as my disciple in this lovely world. Your life is going to improve and calamities will dissipate," because even if that did happen, even if all of you woke up tomorrow and you found all the major conflicting problems in your life had vanished into thin air, that'd feel pretty good for a little while. But there is still one lingering problem, isn't there? And you know what it is. It is the problem of sin, which makes for the problem of death. Death is always in the background of our lives, just waiting to move center stage. Death is the wages of sin every person pays, and death is the problem we face that earthly treasures are powerless to overcome. Peace be to you. What do these words have to do with those powerful feelings of confusion, doubt, and fear? What do these words have to do with those troubling seasons in your life when you don't have the answer before you and you are anxious and afraid? People of God, the short answer is everything. They have everything to do with such feelings, and I say that because of the type of peace our Lord Jesus Christ gives us. The root problem of fear is always sin. Our sinful flesh is a load we carry, and our sins and sinful condition cause us to doubt the clear promises of God. The promises of God in which he confirms for you that he will strengthen you. He will bear you up. God promises not to permit his saints to fall. God declares unto you that he has redeemed you, that he knows you by name, and he does not forsake his children. And God says he will build his church. Oh, the church will survive because God has said it would. And not even the gates of hell will prevail against the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ is the remedy for sin, because what that peace means, all of your sin, all of it, has been paid for by Jesus. His hands, his side, testify to his crucifixion, by which peace with God has been achieved in full. Your sins no longer create that chasm between you and your God because of Jesus, who bore all of your sins, paying the price in our stead. He takes upon himself the wrath of God for your sin and mine. And by that act, you have peace with God, a peace that is yours by faith in Jesus, period. Period. Let us not overlook the fact that Jesus declares unto his people, "Peace be to you," and then he shows them his hands and his side. Even the resurrected Christ reminds his disciples of his crucifixion and what he has attained for the world by dying on the cross, and that is peace with your God, the peace of sins forgiven. Those words, "peace be to you," that is God saying, "Fear not, do not be afraid. I have you in my arms. I know you by name. You are redeemed and you are mine. Let not your heart be troubled, because I have overcome the world. When making a decision, do it boldly, resting in the forgiveness of sins, trusting in God's peace. It is certainly not ours because of our awesome decision-making ability. But God's peace is yours through Jesus, the crucified one, the risen one, in whom and by whom you have the peace of sins forgiven. All of this that I am talking about here, this gospel, is the sure, concrete promise of God when the wind and the waves of this world assail you. The promise of the gospel, the good news of God saying, you have his peace, do not be afraid. This, friend, is your rock in every storm of your life. Why am I so sure of this? From where does our conviction come from? We see it in the text. Jesus breathes on the disciple. Receive the Holy Spirit, says our Lord. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld. On the one hand, we see our Lord Jesus charging pastors to forgive sins. That's why in the beginning of the divine service, you will hear language, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you. You hear that language spoken by the man called into the office of pastor. Never let that first person pronoun I trouble you. The authority to forgive sins comes from Christ and Christ alone, and Christ bestows that authority on his called men into the office to forgive the sins of his penitent people. But we should also know that any baptized believer can speak the gospel to a hurting soul, pointing them to the sure and certain forgiveness of sins that is ours through Christ and Christ alone. And the certainty of this message, the conviction we have speaking the gospel to others. Friends, we have that conviction not just because we see it in God's word, it is there. That is true. But the gospel is a message that flows out of the atonement itself. One need not doubt the sure and certain forgiveness of sins. Because we do not have to doubt, and we should not doubt, and we need not doubt the atonement of Jesus. His crucifixion on the cross is satisfactory to the Father. He has done it. And so to doubt the forgiveness of sins is to doubt he who was crucified for you. Again, I go back. In this gospel lesson, we see our Lord Jesus speak peace to his people. He gives his disciples the authority to forgive sins, and he shows them his hands and his side. All of that is connected. And he says unto us, do not disbelieve, but believe. Yes, I know our sins are many. So bad we don't even realize the depth of our sins before God. It is revealed to us in Holy Scripture. But we can trust in God and his promise. Though our sins are great, the blood of Jesus covers every last one of them. And on account of that gift, the gift of Christ, we really do have God's peace. And so when you find yourself swimming in that all too familiar sea of doubt, unsure of everything around you, turn not to yourself. Turn not to yourself. Remember, know, realize, and believe in the free gift of peace that is yours in Christ Jesus. It is a peace that transcends even our minds, and not even an unpredictable world can take away this peace that is yours in Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.